Hello, hello, and welcome to the Sleon Productions podcast, where we interview authors, entrepreneurs, business owners, people that bring value to this world. Excitement, you know, you always hear about Einstein and you hear about Steve Jobs influencing people, and you can say Elon Musk as well. Well, today we have a special guest, first guest of the year for 2022. He is an entrepreneur, a man that started several businesses actually, and a franchise. He's now pursuing a company that provides romantic gifts to hotels. And we got Alex Bowles here on the Sleon Productions podcast. Welcome.
Hey, Santiago.
Alex Bowles. We met at our church, small group, and about a couple months ago, back in, I believe it was May. And of course, I think everyone got to know you because you're very, had a lot of energy, you know.
Sure.
And of course, you know, you're very passionate about your faith and your talents. And of course, you're a father of your of two daughters. So Alex, tell us a little bit about yourself, you know, a little bit of a brief bio, and we can get started there.
Nice. I think you hit it up perfectly. So I'm an entrepreneur, I'm a Christian, I'm a father, and those are the things that I really nailed down. Those are the solid parts of my life. So everything else, being an entrepreneur, it is it's an interesting field because we're just basically serving the needs of people. So you got to find out the way that they think, you got to find out the way that they buy, and just provide some good service. So there's a lot of different ways to do it.
So Alex, we spoke before, and it seems like you've come from a line of entrepreneurs. Tell us your beginning, the juices. Who got you into it? Was it a teacher? Was it an uncle? Was it your dad? Tell us that story.
Yeah, so I always, as long as I can remember, I wanted to be an entrepreneur because I thought about owning a business. You're providing a service. You're directly taking care of the people. And that's something I always wanted since the time I was probably 5 years old. And it probably was based on a couple of three of my uncles. So pretty much most of my male figures, my father wasn't really in the picture too much, but I had three uncles. One that was a business owner, he owned court reporting schools. He was a big influence. Another owned pawn shops, and another was a chiropractor doctor. So each one of them had different kinds of businesses, and that gave me just a overarching understanding that entrepreneurs are not the same. They're very different, and I could do this my own way, and I have.
Very eccentric, I would say, most of them that I've met.
Sure.
I know we met people in our circles, actually, in our church. We have, believe it or not, just thinking about it right now,
quite a few
that I've met on the ground.
Sure,
so,
sure.
So
just in our group, I can think about two or three that.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you're also a artist, you can say, not just an entrepreneur, but you definitely have an eye for that. We're shooting this in December, guys, and Miami had a huge art event.
Art Basel.
And tell us your beginnings with art. Is that something that, was that innate? Or one day you just watched a painter paint an art canvas or something. Like, how'd you get started with that?
With art, that's a very interesting question, because a lot of times the public, Joe Public, is like, art, what does that have to do with my life? It has nothing to do with my life. And my grandmother was very much like brick and mortar. Like, what is an artist? An artist is starving. That's what she would always say, starving artist. So that's how I thought of art. But then as an entrepreneur, it brought me to different cities and different places. And when I was in Park City, Utah, they had basically ski and ski out places where you could buy ski clothes. They had art and they had food and beverage. And I'm classically trained in hospitality, so how to serve food and beverage, lodging, things like this. But in art, that's a part of hospitality too. How do we take care of the hotel? How do we have this? So seeing Park City along with my education, and then seeing Palm Beach, Worth Avenue, again, restaurants, clothing, and art. And so I would go to these places and see art, and it blew me away at the detail that these people put into their art and the emotions, but then also the pricing. So from the beginning, art is really about expressing your soul. But I wanted to find the financials, like between hospitality and art, and how I could have a part in that. And it just got me painting. This was probably 2014. That's almost 8 years ago now.
Ish,
yeah, 7.5 years. And so I just started painting for myself, and I got into it as a business because as I became successful in a couple of my businesses, I had enough free time to, art is about releasing your soul and what you find true beauty. And so that just became indicative of where my life wanted to go. I want to share my soul, I want to share my love. When you serve somebody at a UPS store and send out their package, that's one thing. You're kind to the person, you're nice, you give a little bit extra than the other stores, and that's a loving thing. That's serving my soul to help people. But then art, it's just creating pure beauty and stories on a page, and it hit me, it caught me, and that's what my life is pretty much about now. So I've recently started a couple new businesses, and one of them is the art company, William Alexander Studios, and it's just about me releasing my soul. So it was a hobby to begin with, and it led into a business, and that led into just an expansion of experiences and lifestyle, and getting into these different cool events and seeing different people who are just creating from their souls. And it's very close to being an entrepreneur, because an entrepreneur creates something and an artist creates something. Both are for the public eventually to enjoy, but they're at their root is truly about what the entrepreneur enjoys. So if I start a certain business, it's because I think that's an area of life that somebody needs in a certain area. Same thing with art, but it's more individualistic because it's in one person's house versus, like I said, a package that I can send a million out, and it's still touching people, but it's art just touches people in a different way.
Those two combine, what you said, entrepreneurship and art. I think no one really talks about it, mm-hmm. but it is relatable very much. So let's rewind a little bit.
Okay.
And let's go into high school and college. Tell us that jump from high school to college. You went to a good college, by the way,
mm-hmm.
and we'll find out where. Tell us, you know, that last year of high school, you know, almost every high school student has to pick a major, or not just a major, maybe find a craft mm-hmm. or a place to work. And we have a lot of high school listeners, by the way. So mm-hmm. tell us that last year, or maybe that was your junior and senior year, mm-hmm. and then your time at college.
So I had a very different upbringing. So I like to tell people I was similar to the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. In that, in my home life with my mother, my father had passed away young, so I was kind of the man of the house. And I had turned 18 the year before my senior year. So I actually decided I'm going to go out on my own. I'm going to do my own thing. I had already had a business at that point. I started my first business when I was 16, just hustled forward, growing up in a lifestyle where you're the man of the house and your father's away. There's not a whole lot of money there. For me, I tried to figure out how to replace those funds, even at a young age, and take care of my school. Luckily, naturally, I was decent at school, so I had other time. And so from junior to junior year, I was living at home with my mother, and I had a small business, and it was going well. And then senior year, I moved in with my aunt and uncle, who, Fresh Prince of Bel-Air, that's like moving to Bel-Air. My aunt and uncle had a big business that was thriving. They had a nice home. It was a completely different lifestyle than what I was used to living, versus summers and visiting with relatives.
Which, keep in mind, you grew up in Ohio, right?
I grew up in Ohio, yeah.
So Cleveland area?
Cleveland, Columbus, yeah. exactly.
Okay, because I've heard of Westlake, Ohio, which is a very affluent area in Cleveland.
Very nice, yeah.
Westlake's wondering if great. You grew up there.
Did not grow up there. Okay. Grew up a little bit south of there. It's actually Akron, Ohio, so it's the neighborhood when I was with my aunt and uncle. So I transferred in the senior year and stayed with them while I was 18. And it's the neighborhood that LeBron James used to drive through and pray that he someday owned a house there and pray that his skills would be built up. So he visualized, he would drive through the neighborhood as a teenager, and LeBron and I are the same age. So senior year, I got to play LeBron. I got to see this great guy. I was on my own, basically. I had to pay for my food and whatnot, but my housing was taken care of, and I was in a much greater digs than I could ever imagine type of thing from the way I grew up. So that led me to finishing school strong. I always did well in school and doing football, these things that I thought were cool and that would get me forward, like type of thing.
What they told you to do.
What the culture says is cool. Yeah, be the football player, be this, be that. And then I started going to the University of Akron for business. I went there for 2 years. My uncle that I had been living with in Akron was a big business guy, and he was successful from what the world says. He had cars, he had nice, you know,
so you soaked houses. In
mm-hmm. I soaked great, in a lot
great information from him.
I soaked in a lot of good business information. I did. And then there's life information that's good for an entrepreneur too, but the business information I soaked in a ton. I watched how he structured it. He structured like the army. So know the guy behind you's job, know the guy in front of your job, lead from the front. Don't be afraid to get dirty. Don't be afraid of failures. The next battle is what you need to prepare for. And so it really taught me a lot. But at University of Akron, that led me into college. Because I went there, that was college for 2 years. It was business school, but my uncle, he told me, he's like, this is the real college, not studying business, because it's different for every business.
I was going to say, what was your uncle's thoughts on going to college? Was that something that he's like, you shouldn't go there, or?
He said, you should go there because it's like the status symbol. Nobody's going to take you seriously unless you go to college. But he's like, I'm going to teach you everything. He's like, so out there, don't study business. I'll teach you how business works. Study people, because people are crazy. That's what he would say. He's like, people are wild. They'll go one way 1 minute, one way the other. But if you know how people react, you can definitely have a advantage in business sometimes.
What's the name of that book of Rockefeller? Something about people. He wrote about... But I think
Rockefeller's from Cleveland too.
Yeah, so it might be no coincidence.
No, I love Rockefeller. He's one of my favorites.
But pretty much, like, his main objective was study people.
Study people.
Yeah, very
exactly.
Similar. Interesting.
So my uncle's education was highly beneficial, actually. So study people, and as a Christian, you and I have talked that I think that's the most important people, loving people. So when you're a great business owner, when you serve people, that's what if you sell a McDonald's burger, or you sell a coin in a vending machine, something draws you to the vending machine, something draws you to the burger. So you have to know your people, and that's how marketing works. That's where you bring in the draw. But so our question was about my past. So anyway, long story short, my uncle Ken, he with his comment of study people, got me out of business school, got me into sociology, actually, and I always loved government and I loved things like that. So I studied people a lot, and I did that at the University of Utah, which has a really good school, because Utah's an enclave, all a similar type of people. So the sociology and the psychology out there is really great, because you have a closed set of people. Talking about the Mormons now, which is fine. You guys know it, you know what I mean? It's fine. Like keep it a closed group, and they like that. But it makes it really great for sociologists to study them, because they're a tight group. Same thing in Chicago, Catholics in Chicago. Right. And
Young University?
I went to the University of Utah.
Utah, that's right.
Yeah,
right.
University of Utah. And I graduated there with sociology and criminology, and then I did my master's, so this long story, not short, but it's getting there. My master's was done at the University of, or Cornell University in upstate New York. And that was a great school. I was very proud to get in there. That just happened for me working during school. So again, I had that Fresh Prince, but I had to pay for things on my own.
Well,
so
as everyone knows, Cornell's not really well known.
Cornell? Yeah.
I'm kidding.
Yeah, Cornell's well known. It's an Ivy League school, but people don't know it like Harvard. Like,
or Princeton, because it's probably up in upstate New York.
Yeah.
So tell us the process of getting to that school. Was that very difficult at the when you tried to apply, or like you had like the credentials, you had straight A's, AP student, you know?
I did not have straight A's.
Honor student, my
thing. I was not an honor student either. I did not have straight A's, nor was an honor student. What I had, though, was hustle and grit. And so my application got looked at, and I got fully funded because I didn't come from much. Even though I say Fresh Prince lifestyle, that still denotes that you had a really tough time, like poverty. People who grew up in the neighborhood I grew up with, my mom, had like, I think it's less than 1% college, like even going to college, not graduating, just going to college. Guys in my neighborhood just didn't go to college. But it was difficult because where I came from and then what I had done. So I had used my sociology degree and I had become a high-level manager in a few hotels, and I wanted to develop hotels. That was my first thing. I went from small businesses, like I owned lawn care in high school, and I owned a carpet cleaning company when I worked for Dr. Steam Carpet Care. It was one of my first legitimate businesses. Website, everything.
Like, that's a good name.
Dr. Steam, yeah. Doc Steamy, he was our logo. And so that was like working in hotels during college. That got me a way to be able to have funding but still go to school and not have it take a million hours of my time. I was able to set up the company, advertise, market, find out the target customers, see their needs, and then hire a couple guys that were my ski bum friends. Like, they just wanted to ski basically and have unemployment in the summertime, and that's how a ski bum like lifestyle goes basically. And so I saw these guys, how to love my friends and get them more jobs, how to see the community and love them and get them clean rooms, how to help the hotels and get them clean rooms also, because people go out there, they'll throw up on something, and then it'll be 2 days before a carpet cleaner got out there. So I saw a problem, and I stepped in to fill it.
So your time at Cornell, what skills did you learn there that you didn't prior to going to Cornell?
Cornell, a master's degree in general, should teach you how to study what is relevant and what is irrelevant, because a lot of times what people focus on is irrelevant, right, to the goal. So know your goal, know what's relevant, know what's irrelevant, and how to differentiate between the two, because you can read two books and one might sound good but it's a total load, and the other one might be super boring to read but it has really, really like positive truths for life to go from it. So it doesn't matter if it's dry or if it's exciting, it matters what is truth. And so it taught me how to disseminate truth.
Yeah, it's something that, you know, it's quite interesting, all that knowledge you're taking in at a very, very well-known school. So you graduate college, Alex. I'm trying to connect between West Palm Beach and college, connect those dots.
West Palm Beach and college. So Cornell, I did part in Utah where I was living at University of Utah and working in Park City, and I did part in Ithaca, New York. So after I was finished with Ithaca, I moved back to Park City and I continued in the hotel business. But I now had more education, so I could get, I don't want to say better, but like more skilled positions in the hotel industry, which was helping set up pro formas, like different business paperwork to try to build the companies and try to plan for the future. So I was in the development office, and that led me from Park City, Utah, where I had a couple development friends that owned hotels out there, to West Palm Beach, where I also had family in West Palm Beach. And so I had saved money when I was in this. I had been wanting to do something on my own, but I was working for other hotels and I was running the doctor's team, but I wanted a bigger company. I wanted something that would just run. So when I was in Palm Beach, I had been offered, when I looked for work in Palm Beach or looked for business opportunities in Palm Beach.
Why Palm Beach?
Because I had family down in Palm Beach. So I looked in three areas. I looked in Utah, I looked in Palm Beach, and I looked in Ohio. And so I had looked for different areas that were building hotels. And because we're in South Florida, there was a lot more groups in South Florida that are building hotels. We have, I mean, travel is one of our biggest industries down here. So I was able to find a group, and I became their director of hospitality development. And they didn't have one of those. They developed, you know, commercial buildings and all this, but nothing aimed right at hotels and hotel owners. So I kind of came in and fresh start, like education, and took over the whole department.
Impressive and fascinating. And yeah, which I have to agree, South Florida or Florida in general has a great hotel industry, tourism industry, which I would say is probably one third of the economy, mm-hmm. Or maybe more than that by now.
I'd have to Google it.
Yeah, exactly. UPS franchise, you definitely got into that. Tell us the beginnings of that.
Yeah, so from working for someone else in the hospitality industry, running the development office, I learned how to judge businesses really well, at least in the hotel sector. So what I basically did, my wife at the time and I had wanted to own our own business. I've always wanted to own my own business. It's just something I like to, I don't want to say control, but like develop, create. I want to create something for people directly with my own hands. So being an entrepreneur just hits with me. It's just like being an artist. But what it was is she and I wanted our own thing, and we went through the Forbes Franchise 500, and we basically circled, I think it was like 54 companies, and I called all 54 corporate offices, and I said, what do you have in Palm Beach? What do you have in Ohio, again, and what do you have in Utah? Because we still had family in those areas. Yeah. And I went through it. We decided we wanted to buy a functioning franchise that had already been running, so I knew the sales and whatnot and kind of what the take would be. And that's what it was. We basically called everybody, and it was just a decision. We want to be in control of our lives. And it's nice that I'm working for somebody else. I'm making money. I'm learning a lot. But I think we're ready at that time to...
UPS franchise, something that I've actually never interviewed someone that has owned a franchise.
Welcome to the franchise game.
Yeah.
There's a lot to know.
Yeah. You own a UPS store franchise. A lot of people know it as that's where you return your Amazon products.
It is. Most people don't know it's a franchise. So if you're looking for a great franchise, not in food and beverage, that's something my wife and I said. We don't want food and beverage. The UPS store is excellent.
What were the pros and cons that, I mean, obviously pros and cons with the franchise, and what did you learn afterwards that you wish you knew before starting this franchise?
The pros of the UPS store are high. That's why I went through 54 on the Franchise 500, and UPS like whittled down to the best one. Just the return on investment, so is about 1 to 3 or 4. So if you put down $200,000, you're making about $50,000 to $75,000 a year. So that's actually a pretty good return. It's a very good return. So returns were really big. And then we wanted to build multiple businesses. So it is a business center. It's not just shipping. It's a business center. You do printing. You do servicing for marketing. You do all these different things. So the UPS store's training was very good. I knew a good amount about business, but going to their training, 6 weeks in La Jolla, 6 weeks in La Jolla is beautiful. If you've never spent 6 weeks in La Jolla, it's amazing. And so, yeah, let's go to California. But, yeah, their training was amazing. It sets you up for a deeper business understanding that you might not actually look at. And it was great. And as for you asked the negative also, I didn't find too many negatives going into it. The transition between one owner to the other owner was very smooth with their corporate office. The only thing I wish I knew more about was graphic design. Everything nowadays is going into graphic design and stuff like this. And
especially with social media.
Oh, especially with social media.
You gotta have a graphic for everything.
You gotta have a graphic for everything. Every week it needs to change to keep people interesting. There's like microsecond time spans for people's attention.
So change the logos too, right?
You gotta switch it up every now and again. You do, you really do. So I had learned more graphic design over the time, but I always thought to myself, oh, I'm the entrepreneur, I'm the visionary, I'm the guy who sets it up and I help other people management. But no, you have to know the details.
Again, there's a lot of themes. I mean there's
so
a couple
much.
Of themes.
Just so much.
Social, when your uncle taught you how to be social. Pedal and Passion, new business, I believe you started this year. Tell us a little bit about that clever idea, but I want the audience to hear it.
Yeah, so Pedal and Passion, this is a company that I started, like I said, without any funding, without any things like that. And I basically saw the need. Miami Beach hotels had huge losses because of COVID, right? When they came back on, they had minimal services. So housekeeping wasn't necessarily daily. It was maybe when you check in and when you check out, or once during your stay.
It was scattered.
And then also, the concierges weren't being brought back. So I looked at it like, there's all these hotels, people want to get to Miami. So there's rooms, but there's not services. So I kind of helped the hotels out by saying, I'm going to be your private concierge. You guys call me, and if somebody needs rose petals in their bedroom, if they need champagne, if they need any of these special services.
Romantic experiences.
Yeah, exactly. So anything like there's different kinds of hotel guests. And so a lot of people who come to Miami are on anniversaries or on birthdays or on all these like special occasions. And there's no concierge to put the balloons in the room. There's no concierge to bring up the chocolate covered strawberries.
Or the mail forgets the logistics.
The logistics they're completely forgotten about in that area of the hotel.
He's so mesmerized by the woman. Mm-hmm.
Strawberry. Yeah, I told you this once before, I think. I started Pedal and Passion thinking it'd be 50-50 customers, male, female. It's like 80-20 men. So that means women buy the romantic gifts far more than men. And we have it out there. I know in Miami Beach, because I have Pedal and Passion, we have the ability to go out there and be romantic and go the extra mile for our loved ones, our significant others. But sometimes something, the man part of us, it doesn't get there sometimes.
Thinking of the logistics. So, wow, Alex, you had said a couple of themes that I like, you know, being social. I remember when my dad would tell me, you gotta be sociable to people. You know, it comes down to having good customer service.
Yeah.
Another thing that I really
learned.
Hospitality, you know. Also your faith, you know. Also creativity, you know, when it comes to your business. And just having a vision. Money, you know, we'll pursue that vision.
It will.
So
Apple was just one guy's mind in a garage. And in the beginning, he had a couple investors, but it's slow. Your first investors, you got to take care of them. And then from there, it just expands. Money does follow vision. So money is not a thing. It's an abstract idea. Like Bitcoin, I just think that can be shut down too much. Gold is a thing. It can continue.
Yeah. And also what you said, starting small.
Very small. Yeah, it's a snowball.
You don't want to, you know, overnight become a 100 franchise locations. No, it takes time.
You need to learn. Yeah, if you've learned enough to be able to take 100 franchises at once and take it on, you've been in that franchise business for a very long time.
Interesting. Before we go into closing words, Alex, what is the best way to reach you online, website, social media?
The best way to reach me?
Yeah.
So anybody can always email me at alex@pedalandpassion.com, or like, I'm pretty open book. And most people say, oh, if you give out your number, you do this, people are going to be blowing you up. People can have your number. It's like being an entrepreneur. 1,000 people can have the idea. One is going to do it. So if you guys want to call me, feel free to call me and we can talk about anything. But text message, 305-842-7779. So I guarantee I put that out there. We have 100,000 people see this. I'm going to get 3 calls. Call me if you need anything.
It is a numbers game for almost everything.
Like, it is.
100 people, you get just 3 or 10 calls. So
yeah.
And things like that. But yeah, action-packed podcast. Really enjoyed it. Alex, any closing words?
No, thanks for having me on. This is the first time I've talked about my business outside of like school or outside of a business conference. So it's fun, my friend. Like I love your podcast. I love that you're bringing in lots of different entrepreneurial ideas, and it's really great. It's really great.
Alex Bowles, I appreciate you coming on to the Sleon Productions podcast.
Happy to be here. Thank you.